Thank you, Ms. Cassidy. All right. I just want to let everyone know we do. You don't have to, but we do have a nursery right through these doors and to your left, or that door and to your right. It is open if you guys want to take your children. If not, that is completely up to you. We are glad you're here today. Welcome to New Hope Independent Baptist Church. If this is your first time, we welcome you. We hope you find in us a friend and a family and a friendly church. Welcome today. If you got your Bibles this morning, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we'll continue on in our story. You wonder why she sang that song, I'm a Soldier. I told you last week we'd be in a study of what a good soldier for the Lord is over the next few weeks. This week we're going to talk about being a courageous soldier. Last week we talked about being an honest soldier, and I hope you were able to put that to practice this week. You know, it is important as children of God that people and the Lord, lost people, saved people and the Lord altogether find us to be honest. But other than that, I think it's very important that we as Christians, that we don't need to come off as weak individuals. Did you guys know that? We don't need to look like the lower, you know, like we're scared of everything just because we're Christians. We don't need, it's time that the church understands that we are a victorious people. We have one living within us that has defeated giants and won battles and won wars for years. We read about, you know, how David defeated Goliath. You know what he said? He said, you come at me with swords and spears, but I come in with you in the name of the Lord. You know, we're serving the same God that watched over and kept the lion's mouth closed when Daniel got thrown into a den of lions. That's the same God that parted the Red Sea. The same God that broke down the walls of Jericho. We serve the same God today. Can I say this? We serve a living, risen Savior. Isn't that good? That we do not serve a dead God. You know, we don't, you know, there's people out there that worship Muhammad. But let me tell you this. If you were to go on a tour to his grave, you know what you'd find? Bones. You know, there's people out there that serve Buddha. Go to his grave. You're going to find bones. But go visit the grave of my Savior. You know what you're going to find? He's gone. And folks, he's coming back one day. And it's time that we as the church realize that we have a job. And as soldiers, we have some things that we need to be. And being courageous is one of them. Let's pray this morning, then we'll get right off into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth, Lord. Thank you for all the men and women, boys and girls who are here today. Lord, please bless these people under the sound of my voice today. I pray, God, they'll not hear from me, but Lord, they'll hear from heaven. They'll hear from you. Holy Spirit, I'd love for you to just come down and meet with us. Bind the devil off this place this morning. Bind him off this property, off that fellowship hall where them children are. Bless Miss Crystal right now as she's bringing a junior church lesson right now. Bless those kids, Lord, as they're going to eat here in a few minutes and then go have some fun. I pray, God, that they'll remember that going to church, Lord, on this Sunday, August the 13th, was one of the best times they've ever had in their childhood. And I pray, God, they'll beg to come back. Pray, God, their families will like it, their moms and dads. Bless those moms and dads who brought those babies out today. Lord, meet with us. Cleanse me of sin, Lord. Hide me of self, Lord. Fill me with your spirit this morning, Lord. Give me words and wisdom to speak, Lord, what it is that you would want me to speak, and that only. Lord, don't let me say nothing else unless that's what you want. Lord, meet with us now. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. And all God's people said, amen. 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 I like that. Training that younger generation. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good, what church? Soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a what? A soldier. To be a good soldier, we learned last week that we need to be honest. And like I said before, I hope that you as Christians, as men and women of a living, risen Savior, are honest individuals. But today, I want you to understand that you don't have to be in fear all the time. We talked about that a little bit this morning, and fearing men. Did you know the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood? Men are not our enemy. Men are always going to fail you. Men are always going to be there to discourage you. And occasionally, if you're lucky, you'll come across one that'll edify you and strengthen you and lift you up and encourage you. And I hope that's what you get today. But I want you to understand, you don't just need to be an honest soldier. You need to be a courageous soldier. What does that mean? It means not deterred by danger or pain. It means brave, fearless. How many hunters we got in here? I'm sure all of you that have ever hunted have been in the woods in the what? The dark, right? And you've been out there without a flashlight. And I'll tell you, when it gets dark, you start hearing things that you don't normally hear during the daytime. And you know, it's one thing to hear it when it's light out and you can look over and see what you're hearing, right? But man, when it's dark out there and you start hearing things and you can't really see what it is, it's a little scary sometimes. I mean, let's just be honest. You might say, well, I'm not scared of nothing. Look, you're a liar if you say you've never been in those dark woods and never been scared. Any liars in here? Uh-huh. Be honest with you. Look, we've all come across times where we've just been a little bit on edge because we don't know what's behind that next tree or behind that next turn. And you know, but listen, I'm talking about life here. I'm not talking about hunting. I'm just using that as a funny example. But you know, to be courageous, it means not deterred by danger or pain. It means brave, fearless. Go with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 23. Joshua chapter 23 this morning. Verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." Wouldn't it be good if we would recognize that the battles that we have already won in life were not because of us? Listen, you have won greater than you looking over you. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living within you, leading you and guiding you into all truth, and he calls himself the Comforter. He's comforting you. He's taking you through those battles. Look, here's a good thing you can rest assured about God. He's never going to send you into a battle that he hasn't already seen the outcome. And by the way, he's going to go through the battle with you. Okay, understand that. God is going to go through the battles with you. But wouldn't it be good if we, when we came out of those battles, instead of being a prideful man, you know, like most men like to say, well, look what I've done. Look, how many's guilty of that? All of us. We did something cool, and you know, the Lord brought us some victory, and we're like, man, you have no idea what it took for me to win that victory. No, no, no. What it took for you to win that victory was a God in heaven sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for your sins. That's what it took. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what it took for you to have the ability to even come close to victory. Verse number 4, "Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very," what's the next word, church? "Courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. We're not going to take time to preach that, but you know, you ever stopped and wondered why you oftentimes have so many problems in life as a Christian? Well, you know, there's some things that God says, if you do this, I'll make sure that the battle's taken care of. But if you go back and you start partaking in the things from your former lust, and you start yoking up with the world and doing the things that the world thinks is good, and taking part in all the carnal things and marrying up with the women and the men that you ought not be marrying, you say, what does that mean? I'm talking about, hey, as a Christian, I'm just going to say this, as a Christian single man, the last thing you should do is ever chase a lost woman. As a Christian single lady, the last thing you should ever do is chase after a lost man. Why? Because the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because you're not wired the same. But can't the Lord save them? Absolutely. And then guess what? He can make that man the man of your dreams. And he can make that woman the woman of your dreams. But until then, you better do what God said. Because you start partaking of that, you know what he said they're going to be? They're going to be snares and they're going to be traps to you. But that's not what we're going to preach today. Joshua is instructing Israel, or the people of God, to be courageous. He gives them a pretty good formula for remaining courageous. Look in verse number 6 in Joshua 23. The Bible says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. You know, church, if we're going to be courageous, we got to keep and do all that is written in the book. I wonder how fearless of a people we would be, and how courageous we as children of God would be if we just stuck to the Bible. You know, we can say it over and over again. If God says do it, what should we do? Do it. Let's try that again. If God says do it, what should we do, church? And if God says don't do it, what should we not do? Don't do it. Pretty simple. Did you know God is, he gave us the Bible. I like to think of it like this. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Look, if God said do it, let's try it again. If God said do it, what do we do? God said, don't do it, what do we not do? You know, your life would be a lot more simple if you just obey that concept right there. To do and to keep all that is written in the book. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, we live in constant worry and fear because we're not living by the book. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, starting verse 14. The Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, I love this, thou hast known the what, church? Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now look at this, church. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God and is profitable. So is there any word in this Bible that we call the King James Bible that is written to us and preserved to us English-speaking people? That's what I believe. It's infallible, it's preserved, it's inerrant, it's perfect, it's pure, it's not wrong. It doesn't need to be messed with. I can keep going if you need me to. But there's nothing wrong with it. Is there any word in this Bible that needs to be removed? The answer is no. Is there any word in this Bible that needs to be added unto? The answer is no. Listen, God does not have the ability to make a mistake. Hello? I mean, he sent a son who became flesh and dwelt among us, lived 33 and a half years, and sinned not. How many of you ever lived 33 minutes without sinning? Not me. Why? Because I'm not him. But hey, God is perfect. God can't lie. God doesn't make mistakes. And the Bible says every word is profitable. it's given, and it's profitable. For what? For doctrine? For reproof? Now let me ask you this. How many like reproof? How many like it when someone says, hey, that wasn't right? Do we like that? No, but did you know if you'd be honest and you were studying to show yourself approved unto God, God would be saying that an awful lot to you. And then it says, not only for reproof, like, hey, that's not right, but it says it's for correction. You ever remember those come to Jesus meetings? That's what we called them. Those come to Jesus meetings, or, you know, your daddy take you behind the woodshed, or, you know, how many remember those meetings when you were kids? Listen, why did your parents have to do that to you? They didn't just take you out there and beat you for nothing and not say a word to you. Well, maybe some of you did. But look, what I'm saying is most of the time, here's how mine went. My grandma would sit down. My granddaddy, he was softer than my grandmother. I don't know why that is, but he was. He would every now and then, and it took a lot to make him angry. He just had a very mild spirit. I did not inherit that. I wish I did, but I did not. But my grandmother would sit down, and she didn't just react. She would sit down, and she'd look at you for a while, and she'd talk. This is what I remember, and usually it happened on the back doorsteps. And she'd talk, and she'd talk, and everything was good until tears started coming down her face. But when I saw the tears start coming down her eyes, that's when I knew the wrath of her was about to be unleashed on my rear end. But look, you know what she was doing first? She was reproving me. She was explaining to me, this is what you done wrong. And it didn't, and listen, parents, this, catch this. It's not enough to just tell them they did wrong. Hello? Everybody okay with that? Look at our generations out there in the schools. It ain't enough to just tell them, hey, what you're doing's wrong. You better correct them. Or the next generation's going to be worse than what we're dealing with now. The Bible says, guess what? You don't discipline your kids. I'm paraphrasing here. You don't really love them. What? I didn't say it. God did. You spare the rod, you know what you're going to do? You're going to raise a spoiled child. Simple as that. So you spank your kids? Absolutely. I got spanked. Look at me. I'm just saying. Look. Yes, I do. Why? Because I love them. And let me tell you something. I find it a whole lot easier to love them when they obey. When they listen. When they're not arguing and screaming and throwing fits in public like a lot of kids do out there. Look, why do we have a generation of teenagers that can't decide what gender they are? What would happen if a mom and dad were to use some common sense and said, hey, this is how God made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made without error. This is who you are. God made no mistakes. What would happen if that mom and dad would sit them down and say, hey, there's nothing wrong with who you are. You're perfect just the way you are because God made you that way. Guess what? We wouldn't have this mess going on in our country. But look, it's not enough just to reprove them. You better correct them. That's what the Bible's for. And then it says it's for instruction in righteousness. Not only do you just say, you don't do this. Now let me correct you so you don't do it again. But here's what you do. You tell them how to fix the problem. Right? This is why we don't do this. This will result in this. You know, you ever, like I told you guys the story about when I fell out of that tree. You know, my grandparents could see the danger in me climbing up that tree anymore. That tree was dying. They could see that them branches were getting thin and they were going to break. They knew what was coming. I was too crazy to realize that. But hey, when I hit that ground head first, I understood. And I didn't get no sympathy either. But look, for instruction in righteousness, look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How are we going to be courageous? First, we got to stick to the book. It's just that simple. We have to stick to the book if we're going to be courageous. Guess what? If you're sticking to the book, you know what you're doing? You're taking your faith and your trust out of you, and you're putting it on Him. And God, no matter what happens, here's what I'm doing. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how I think. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I hear. I'm trusting you and you alone. And He says, finally, let me take the wheel. God should never be your co-pilot, by the way, church. He better be the pilot. Okay? We live in constant fear because we're not living by the book. The battle we're in is a very real spiritual battle. In battle, you may have to keep moving forward in the face of heavy enemy fire. Lives of other men and women may depend on your courage. How many of you want to go to battle next to someone who's scared to death? Not me. I want to go to battle next to someone who's more brave than I am. That's what I want to do because I want to know they got my back. When the enemy starts firing, and by the way, when the enemy starts firing, not if, I'm talking about when. I don't want my buddies turning and hightailing it to the hills. I want to fight. I want to press on. I want to fight a good fight. I want to finish the course. Hey, church, I want to keep the faith. That's what I want to do. I want to keep the faith. Lives of other men and women may depend on your courage. Family, friends, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. They just might be depending on your courage. Battle plans. You ever went into battle without plans? Boy, what a good analogy here. We had some plans this week we had to follow. Anybody take a look at the new playground? Can I say something I've never really said before, but I'm thankful for YouTube. YouTube had a guy on there. That video was about 59 minutes long, and you want to talk about some false advertisement. It takes longer than 59 minutes to put together a playground, okay? But look, without YouTube and the ability to go fast forward, all right, let's watch that again. Now, what bolt did he say use, and which way did he say put it in? Oh, I think it's like this. Put it in, and then you watch the video, and it's like, oh, back up three steps. Take it all apart. Try it again. Look, what I'm saying is, the spiritual battle, guess what? God didn't send you into a battle without some battle plans. What are they? Well, battle plans, you know what they are? They're based on your courage. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Actually, back up to verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what, church? Fall. In other words, what God's saying is the next time you think you got this and you don't need me, you better watch out because you're going to fall. You do need the Lord. When? All the time. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But what's the next three words, church? God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You say, God's never going to put anything in my path that I'm not able to stand? Well, read the rest of the verse. But will with the temptation, also make a way to escape. Isn't that good that God's not going to ever put you in a situation that He has not already given you a way out of? You say, well, why am I still stuck? Well, how or when is the last time you actually sought God and said, God, I don't know what to do. Look, folks, what we do naturally is try to fix it ourselves. And it doesn't work like that. If when we're tempted, if when we're in a trial, if we're to say, hey, God, I know you know the trial I'm in. I know you know the temptation I'm going through. And I'm going to need you to tell me the way out of this thing. The Bible says, ask and you shall what? Seek and you shall knock and it shall be. Hey, that's the God we serve. He's not the author of confusion. And by the way, He's always home. There's never a time we're going to call on Him and He's going to say, I don't have time for you right now. There's not going to be a time where He says, hey, I'm meeting with someone else. He's an omnipresent God. He can be here. He can be over there with those kids. He's in Africa. He's in Asia. He's all around the United States right now in churches all across our country meeting with His people. Isn't it good to know that God has time for you? God has already equipped you for the battle. So by faith, go fight. In addition to courage in the battle, you must have the courage. Now listen, church, this one's very important. You must have the courage to admit your failures. Hey, how many have failed in life? Look, one of the hardest things you're ever going to do is say, I'm wrong. Nobody likes to admit they're wrong. But let me tell you something. There were plenty of times this week it looked real easy to just press on in that playground. It looked like it would work. But as soon as you got to a certain step, you quickly realize and you're like, I'm going to have to admit that I'm wrong here because I can't go any further. And if I do, I'm going to be drilling my own holes in this thing. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you just need to look at the instruction manual of life and admit that you are a failure. That's hard to say. Let's try it. Who wants to say it with me? On three, we're going to say, I am a failure. Now, you don't say you are a failure. You say, I'm a failure, okay? I'll admit I'm one, too. Here we go. On three. One, two, three. I am a failure. Now, say this with me. Jesus never fails. One, two, three. Jesus never fails. Isn't that good? There's a song, Jesus Never Fails, and that's one of my favorite songs. Maybe we'll sing it for you someday. But I'm so thankful that we have a Savior who cannot fail. I didn't say won't fail. I said cannot fail. Boy, he's a good God, isn't he? In this battle, you must have courage to admit your failures. And get this, when you lead in humility, those following will follow in humility. You know, you see, there's different kind of leaders out there, different kind of bosses out there. All of you have seen the bosses, I'm sure, that lead with that iron fist. They scream, they holler, they cuss, they want to get in your face and yell at you. And let me ask you something. What kind of employee is that going to produce? A pretty angry, bitter one that really don't look forward to coming to work. He's not going to want to do you good because he knows he's always on pins and needles. You're just mean to him. Look, lead with humility, and they'll follow in humility. It's a biblical principle. You also need to have the courage to uplift your fellow soldiers when they're ready to quit. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know about you, but I've only been in church for 32 years. And some of you have been in church longer, a lot longer than that. And I'm sure that you could think of a time where you've seen a fellow Christian, a man or a woman, ready to just be fed up with God and everything with the things of God. Look, did you know that you need to have courage to step in right there and say, listen, quitting is not an option. I always tell my boys love sports. They're wrestlers. They don't wrestle here because they can't, but they've wrestled for years and years and years. And then Colton, he started wrestling when he was, I think, about six. And it took him till he was 13 to win his first state championship. And for years, he was so close. Every year, there was one kid in his bracket. Same kid almost every single year. I'm like, look, bud, quitters never win, and winners never quit. You're going to have to fight harder than that kid. You're going to have to prepare harder, and you're going to have to fight harder. Well, the time came, and you know what I told him? It was the state championship match. And here we are, standing across the ring. And I looked at him. I said, look. And I'm about to shed a tear thinking about it. I looked at him. I said, look, bud, quitters never win. This is it. You and him. He said, I got a plan. I said, what is it? He said, Dad, I know I'm stronger than him, but he's quicker than me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on the bottom because I know he can't roll me over. He's not strong enough. And I'm going to wear him out, and he's going to get tired before I do. And sure enough, third round, Colton's on the bottom. I saw his arm come out and he reached up. And see, he had been on his base the whole time, not using any strength, hardly any. And he flipped this kid over and he pinned him with just a few seconds left. And I'm like, You know what he did? He prepared. He fought. He didn't quit. And I know I'm talking about sports, but look, this Christian life is a very real battle. And there's Christians all around us that are ready to throw in the towel. But look, every time one Christian throws in the towel, you have no idea how many people God had intended for that young lady or that young man to go tell somebody else about the love of God. And oftentimes, all it takes is some edification from someone that they care about and love. A kind word goes a long ways. An uplift, you know, when somebody reaches out and shakes your hand and says, I'm really thankful for what you do. You know what that might do? That might put that lie that the devil put in that person's mind and say, you know what, maybe what I'm doing isn't in vain. Someone's thankful. I think I'll just keep on going. Wouldn't that be good if you were that kind of Christian? To just reach out your hand and say, look, buddy, don't quit. You're doing good. I appreciate you. That takes some serious humility. And don't do it expecting someone to do it to you. Do it because you want your fellow soldiers to fight on and to press on. And eventually some edification will come your way and you'll be thankful for it. But you need to lead like that. You need to uplift your fellow soldiers. A man once said, humility isn't denying your strength, it's being honest about your weakness. How about that? It's not denying your strength, it's just being honest about your weaknesses. By the way, do we all have weaknesses? Absolutely. The end of verse number 6 back in our text in Joshua chapter 23. The end of verse number 6, the Bible says, turn not aside to the right or to the left. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're almost done here. Turn not to the right nor to the left. I love how the Bible kind of comes around in a big circle and comes back together. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Turn not to the right or to the left. Well, which way are we supposed to go? Well, look at this right here. Matthew 7, verse 13 says, enter ye in at the, what is that next word? Straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Turn not aside to the right or to the left. Why is this so important? Well, if the devil can get you off task or off course, he can and will cause you to fear. Things that are over to the right or to the left, guess what they are? They're carnal. They're not going to last. And they will affect your ability to be a courageous soldier. By staying on the straight way, you're choosing Jesus and allowing Him to fight your battles and give you victories. Church, your courage is going to come from the Lord. Miss Barb's going to come and she's going to play an invitation song for us this morning. I promised we'd be out a little bit early. Listen, we're almost done, but we're not quite done yet. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. She's going to start playing for us. Listen, this altar's open this morning. I think it's time as a church, as a community, as believers, that we just go ahead and agree that being a courageous soldier is a whole lot better than being a soldier walking around with our tail tucked between our legs all the time. I wonder how many of you this morning would say, Brother Drew, I sure could stand to be more courageous in my Christian walk. Is there somebody here like that that would just let me pray for you? I'll not call you out. But you just uplift your hand and say, Brother Drew, that's me. I could stand to be more courageous as a Christian. Hey, listen, if we were honest, all of our hands would be up right now. I wonder if there's someone in here this morning that would say, you keep talking about this soldier thing, Brother Drew, and the army of the Lord, but to be honest, I don't even know what you're talking about being in the Lord's army. I've never been saved. I don't know, Brother Drew, if I died today, that heaven would be my home. Is there someone here like that? You just be honest and let me pray for you. Listen, if you don't know that heaven is going to be your home if you breathe your last breath today, listen, it's very important to understand that Jesus Christ came not into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder if there's someone in here today that say, Brother Drew, and I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. Brother Drew, I don't know that I would go to heaven if I would die. Would you just raise your hand and be honest and just let me pray for you? Anybody, I don't know, but I sure would like to know.